So in this beautiful text called Meditation, we are almost at an end, and we have studied that meditation is not an activity, but it is a state to be in, abide in the self within, the self or the Lord or the consciousness that is signified as by Om. B stands for body. So body, mind and intellect is my equipment. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And vasanas are my desires or tendencies which propel me to act. And I have to remove negative desires, vasanas, and substitute positive desires. And Om represents God's presence within as self, as consciousness, or as the Lord. So they say meditation is abide in the self, abide in the Lord within the Om, the consciousness. It's not an activity. It's not even prayer. But prayer can lead to quietening of the mind, and the mind can then abide in the self. Also, it's not chanting the name of the Lord, but chanting is one of the steps we use to quieten the mind, and then the mind can then abide in the self. So they say in meditation, don't do anything. So we said, I don't understand. What do you mean by don't do anything? As we have studied last week, man is essentially a doer. He wants to do. You know, I want something to do. I want 7 steps. I want 9 steps. We are very much into statistics and figures and numbers. I want A, B, C, D, B, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4. Do nothing? I don't understand. What do you mean by do nothing? I don't understand that. Talking about statistics and accounts, there was this job opening for a very prestigious firm that was half statistics and half accounting, very huge firm. And so they wanted a very prominent person who could combine the two, statistics and accounts. When they walked in for an interview, they were asked one question. So they asked him, what is 2 plus 2? So one said 4. They said, you can leave. Then he went out. They said, what did he ask you? They didn't ask anything, only 2 plus 2. Really? What did you say? I said 4. Told me to leave. Next one, 4. Sorry, you can go. After 3, 4, 5 people left, and they figured out, 4 is not the right answer. So the next person says, 2 plus 2 is 5. So they said, sorry, you can leave. So I said, 2 plus 2 is 3. Sorry, you can leave. And 9 people were gone. There were only a 10th one, last one left. You know, everybody is rejected. What's the answer? So he goes there. So they ask him, how much is 2 plus 2? He says, sir, what would you like it to be? He got the job. He got the job, because that's what statisticians, whatever you want, they do. So, or that's what accountants do too. Whatever. But the point is that we love statistics. We love numbers, and we want A, B, C, D. You know, we want steps. That's why even in our handout, we have 7 steps, 9 steps. And so people always want, precise instructions. So the rishis, our sages, were very wise. They said, man needs something to do. So how from doing, we should lead him to doing nothing. From action, how do we take him to actionlessness? That is the goal of meditation. And that's why all the meditation steps are geared towards taking the mind and the body to doing nothing, which we find very hard to do. You know, to sit for even 5 minutes, we find it very hard. So the rishis have given us steps, which actually they have tricked us into doing nothing. So we shall see how that. So verse number 9 on page 35. Asane nagatir lupta.
Asane nagatir lupta.
Yadendriya kriyastatha.
Yadendriya kriyastatha.
Tadatma cha svayam bhati. Sattarupaschidatmakah. So, asane, by the sitting, asanena is the third case, by sitting, gatir lupta, activity disappears. And also when the indriya kriyatatha, when the activities of the sense organs is also stopped. So the body the sense organs, and the mind and intellect, because the mind is also considered a part of the sense organs, because the mind functions through the sense organs. So when the body, tatha means and, so body, sense organs, mind and intellect, when they are all stopped, slowed down, the activity, then tada, then what happens? Atma cha swayam bhati, the consciousness, the atma, the self within shines. The self is always shining. That's why at this moment I am talking and you all are listening, but we are not aware of it because we are so busy in talking and listening. What is he saying? You know, is he making any sense or is it nonsense? So all those questions come in our mind. And I'm also saying, you know, maybe these people don't understand, you know, or, you know, I mean, so, you know, all those ideas come. So the mind is so busy in activity, it has no time to think about the self. But when you quieten the mind and the body and the sense organs, then the self, which is all the time shining, manifests. The self is always shining. The consciousness is always shining. But we have covered it with the activities of the mind, the body, the intellect. So as you quieten it, you will feel the presence of the self more clearly. So that's why in meditation, you feel the Lord's presence as with you, as your own self. So let us see what are the how these rishis have done that. So first they say select a clean place, and that's very important. You know, a clean place where there is not any dirt, or you know, or in the olden days people used to sit under the tree, so make sure there are no mosquitoes or you know things like that. It should be a clean place, undisturbed by you know all this. So it should not be very noisy. So it should be a quiet and a clean place. So sit quietly in a clean place. Then what kind of asana? Here, of course, we sit on the chair, or you can even sit in a, you know, but generally if you're sitting on the floor, they recommend a soft, not a cushion where you will sink in, like a firm blanket, and on top of the blanket, a soft cotton sheet, a thick cotton sheet, so that A, you don't, if you sweat, you know, that gets absorbed. And secondly, it is neither too, if it's too soft, then you will sink in. If it's too hard, then it will hurt. And if it is too high, you know, you will be unsteady. If it's too low, like they say, well, if you're in a basement somewhere, you know, then you feel very cramped. You feel you can't breathe. So it should be neither too high, not on top of a tree, you know, then you're worried you might fall. People think, oh, I'll be on top, closer to God. No, you'll be closer to, you know, breaking your neck. So it should be neither too high, neither too low, neither too soft, neither too hard. If it's too soft, you'll fall asleep. So that's why you shouldn't meditate on a sofa, because on a sofa, you know, on a couch, slowly you will drift into, you'll become one with the self. But then you will disappear and the self alone will, because you will be gone somewhere far away and dreaming. So it should be sit quietly. And when they say sit, it's very interesting. They say sit. They say back should be erect. So then your back is erect, but not stiff. Don't move for next 20 minutes. So don't move. Okay, I can't move. Put your fingers like that on your knees. Okay. And for the next 20 minutes, the finger should be fixed in that position. So what have they done? By doing something, they have made you doing nothing. So when you're sitting for 20 minutes, that means your body is doing nothing. So by giving you instructions, sit quietly, back erect, hold your fingers, put your... So they are tricking you from action to lead to actionlessness. So even though you seem like, oh, I'm doing these steps number one, back erect, sit quietly, fingers on the knees, what they have done? Your body has stopped moving. So that's the number one thing. Because in meditation, people do that. You know, they move back, especially if they're chanting. Oh, you know, none of that. The body is not supposed to move for 20 or 30 minutes. I mean, if you have a really bad ache or something, you can adjust your body. But then not constantly shifting from one leg to the other, from one thigh to the other, one knee to the other. At least for 20 minutes, it's still back erect. Then they say control your sense organs. So how do we do that? We have five sense organs: the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the skin. So tongue, they say don't be doing anything. Like some people chew gum when they meditate. You know, there's a chewing gum, and then that you can't do that because then you're tasting the gum. So there should be nothing in your mouth. Smell, it should not be coffee brewing, you know, in because some people say, oh, let me get the coffee ready while I meditate. And then the your sense of smelling coffee. I'm just waiting for a, you know, nice cup of Folgers. And you're gone. Your mind is running out. So some people use incense. If it helps you to quieten your mind, it's okay. But again, the smell of the incense, I feel, will stimulate your senses. So you should not be... Then early morning, your cell phone should be turned off so the phone doesn't ring. If you do it early morning, there won't be traffic noises, you know, and the TV and all should not be on. Some people like to use a mantra to chant Om or Gayatri mantra or whatever. If that helps you, it's okay. There's nothing wrong. But because it should be constant chanting of one thing, like Om or, you know, or whatever the mantra is, because then your mind from many thoughts can come to one thought. But after a while, even using a tape or a CD becomes a dependent. I actually, for the first 6 months or a year, I was meditating with the, you know, the Gayatri mantra almost for a year. Maybe it helped me, maybe it didn't. But it did help to me to focus my mind. But eventually, I dropped it because everywhere I would be traveling and I would be carrying that tape player with me and all. It became a bother, so I dropped it. But my wife says it did help because the Gayatri mantra improves your intellect. And she says that's why you're able to give these talks, so maybe it did, I don't know. If it did, you know, thanks to the Lord. But really, the Gayatri mantra does improve your intellect. And for almost for a year, I was listening to it 108 times every morning, you know. So, and then that would take about 20 minutes, and then I would go into meditation. But otherwise, avoid listening to sounds. So I don't hear anything, I don't smell anything, I don't see anything, I don't taste anything, and touch. Touch means you should not be touching anybody when you meditate. That's why we say meditation is a individual activity as an appointment between me and God. I mean, yeah, your body will be touching the chair and all, but to minimize that. And that's why they recommend actually sitting not even against the wall. You know, if you can, but nowadays we can't do that because none of us has that ability. But olden days, they would sit on the floor without any wall support. And with the knees crossed, you know, in that lotus position. So that way they were touching nothing. So to minimize the touch. But, you know, that's the point. So the sense organs are reduced. The movement of the sense organs are not working either. So from action, they have taken us to actionless. That's why they say, close your eyes, turn off the TV, turn off the sound. So by doing all those activities, they are making you go to actionlessness. Okay, then what about the mind? Now the mind, of course, you know, we find that the more I try to quieten the mind, the more it runs. The more I try to quieten the mind, the more it runs. So what do they say? That reduce your sense stimuli as what we have, what we just talked about. Yeah, we can close the door. Because the sense organs are the ones that make the mind run out. The mind runs out because of the sense organs. So the eyes, when I see something, my mind runs out. When I hear something, my mind runs out. So by reducing the activity of the sense organs, the mind is not running out. Also, they say reduce your desires because the mind runs out because of excessive desires. When we have too much desires, when I want this, I want. So reduce your desires. I have enough clothes. I don't need to go out and buy new clothes. I have enough jewelry. My car is running fine. I don't need to change it every 3 years. My house is, I have a comfortable house. I don't need to take on a new, you know, $1 million or $2 million debt and a credit and all. Be satisfied with what you have. So reduce your desires. And then, as we said, observing the breath and chanting of the mantra helps to quieten the mind. As the mind is runs out, we observe the breath and we chant Om. And as you chant Om and you pay attention to the silence, slowly your mind becomes quieter. So observe the breath, chant the mantra. The mind still runs. Now the external stimuli I have reduced. Okay, I'm not seeing anything, hearing anything. I'm watching the breath. I'm chanting the mantra. I'm trying to quieten the mind. But from within, the mind has its own memories. Oh, yesterday she said this in the office, you know, how can she do that? She was so mean. And why did this happen? Or tomorrow I'm going to reply to this person like that. So either the mind is running into the past or running into the future or getting agitated or worried about, you know, what's going on? My kids must be getting ready for school and I'm sitting here meditating. I should be helping them. So all those things. So you sit with a firm resolve that I am here to meditate. This is my time with the Lord. And that's all I'm going to do. For the next 20 minutes or 30 minutes, I'm not a mother, I'm not a father, I'm not an employer, I'm not an employee, I'm not a man, woman, child, brother, sister, nothing, husband, wife. I am a seeker of truth. I want the Lord. That's the only thing I want for the next 20 minutes. Ask him for help, or her, if you worship the mother goddess. Ask the Lord for help. Oh, please help me, be with me. And for this 20 or 30 minutes, please stay with me, Lord. I know you are with me at all time, but let me in my mind not run away from you. You are with me, but my mind is taking me elsewhere. It's taking me to my work or to my family or to my business or my dog. You know, people are so worried about the dog and cat more than their children, it seems like. So the point is that at this moment, I should be only thinking about the Lord. And they say practice. Practice is very important, because all of you, of course, most of you are regulars, and you know that in the beginning it was very hard to sit and the mind would run. I've been meditating for almost 20 years. I still find, you know, it hard to control the mind, but as you practice, it gets better and better. You know, the more you practice, it becomes easier to quieten the mind and keep it centered in the self. So, Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagya na cha grihyate. Krishna says in the 6th chapter of the Gita, through practice and through detachment. Because we are so excessively attached to our objects, our relationships, our near and dear ones, our beloved, my children. I'm not saying you shouldn't love, but excessive attachment, excessive dependence. Oh, my child is gone to college and hasn't called me in a week, and then I get depressed, or doesn't write to me, or doesn't email, doesn't answer my texts. It's okay. He's having a good time. Let him, you know, or she. So develop detachment, and also from your objects, from your possessions, from your things, from your house. It's okay. You know, tomorrow my car had a crash. Okay, so then a whole next week is ruined. It's okay. Car will get fixed. Insurance will pay for it. These things happen. So get detached from the objects and things and people and prepare the practice. Then the last is the intellect. The intellect is the one that starts planning, contemplating, thinking, deciding, wondering. And the mind you have controlled, the body you have controlled, the mind to some extent, but the intellect is now planning and deciding. So they say intellect should be controlled, first of all, by resolve. That's very important. Talk to your mind and talk to your intellect that at this moment, we are not going to run around. We are going to stay with the Lord. And then in meditation, the very important inquiry is, who is meditating? Who is the knower? And you say, I am. Okay, so I means I am this body. This body I am meditating. That's what we always think. I am this body. My name is Anil or Diana or Kerry, and I'm a male or a female. I'm an Indian or an American or white or Chinese. So all our identification, or I'm a happy or unhappy individual. I'm a successful or unsuccessful individual. I'm a businessman. I'm a office worker, biller, whatever. So these are our labels. So these are all my labels. These are all the equipment I use. That's why I say my body hurts, my mind is confused, my intellect is confused, my mind is unhappy. So when I say I, my body, my mind, my intellect, then I am none of those. I am the owner of that. So that owner is the knower, the self. Because the condition of my body is known to me, right? If I was the body, but no, I say I know my body. My body is hurting at this moment, or my body is fine. My body is unhealthy. Healthy, I know that. I know the mind. My mind is happy or unhappy. I know that. My intellect is confused. My intellect is clear. So I know that. So who knows the body, mind, and intellect? It is the consciousness, the self, the Brahman, the life within, the Om. So that is me, that is the I, that is the self, that is the consciousness. And that attention has to be shifted away from who knows the body, who knows the breath, who knows the activity of the mind. And the activity of the mind can be quietened by being a sakshi, by being a witness. I am the witnessing consciousness, and in my presence, the mind moves. Swami Chinmayananda gives a very beautiful example. Say somebody goes to the guru and says, "Guru, my leg is shaking, my leg is shaking, my leg is shaking." He says, "Stop it. I can't stop it. My leg is shaking, my leg is shaking." Guru will say, "You are a fool. You are the one that is giving power to the leg to move. And you say you can't stop it? No, I can't stop it. My leg is shaking. I am tired." Just stop it. You are giving power to the leg to move. So he understands. Oh, because of me, the leg was moving. That sounds pretty clear, right? Somebody goes to the guru and says, "My leg is shaking." We'll consider him a fool, right? But we go to the guru with an identical question. And what is that? "Guru, my mind is moving. My mind is shaking. My mind is moving. My mind is restless. My mind is agitated. I cannot stop the mind. I cannot control the mind. I cannot quieten the mind." And so we get upset because we cannot stop the movement of the mind. But just as you give, who gives power to the leg to move? You did, right? And so you could stop it. So who is giving power to the mind? You are. Mm-hmm. You are giving power. The mind cannot function on its own. If you were dead, unconscious, the mind or under anesthesia, the mind would be still. But when I'm awake, I give power to the mind. So if you say the mind is shaking, I can't stop it. Guru says, "You are the one who gives power to the mind, so you are the one who can stop it." So stop the activity of the mind, quieten it, use all these techniques. And then when the mind becomes quiet, the intellect becomes still, then the self, the consciousness shines. And that is the goal, that is the purpose, that is the object of meditation. That is what meditation is. So through doing activities, through 7 steps, 9 steps and all that we have given you in the handout, we have done from doing a lot, we have gone to doing nothing. And that is all meditation is. So do all these steps, and then ultimately the steps lead to actionlessness. So that's the beauty of this beautiful verse. That's why it had mentioned last time. It's a very important verse because it tells us what meditation is and what meditation is not, and how to quieten the body and the mind. So that is the beauty of this very nice verse. This whole text should be read by everybody again, even after we finish it. Please read it again, because he has very simply and very systematically explained this meditation. We did run out of the text. If somebody wants it, we can order it. I can tell Neeru, my wife, to order it, and we can order a few copies if you really need it. But it's very, very simple. We do have other books on meditation which are very similar. So if you don't have this one, there are others. So if you're interested, Diana can show them to you after the class. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I just appreciate the reminder again. I mean, I've heard this many times, but it's just every time something else sort of clicks or sticks, or you might, I don't know. We're just simple creatures, I think.
No, that's good. You're absolutely right. I feel the same way. Every time you listen to a talk, something new registers. That's why repeated listening is very important. That's why Shravan is the first step for a spiritual seeker. They say you must listen. Listen means read and also listen to the teacher. We have wonderful teachers who come every few months. So sit and listen to them, because the more you listen, the clearer it becomes. And every time you pick up something new, absolutely. The Bhagavad Gita that we do on Sunday, some of you come to the Sunday class. I must have read or studied the Bhagavad Gita and listened to Acharya so many times. But every time when I'm preparing for the class, I say, "Oh my God, I don't even remember all these things." So much new comes. So repeated listening is very important. Yeah, thank you. That's a very nice point. Yeah.
But the sound of something, the ticking of the clock. So then I thought maybe if I started white noise like ocean sound or something, but then
you can do that.
Supposed to turn off sound.
Right. Actually, the ticking of the clock is for me a very big disturbance. So I turn off the clock, or I sit in the room where the clock is not there, or like if I'm in somebody's house and I'm trying to meditate and the clock is ticking, I take it out of the room. Ticking clock to me is very disturbing. But suppose the ticking of the clock is not there. Suppose a sound arises, you know, like the neighbor's car, you know, you hear the roaring of a motorcycle or a car.
Lawnmower
or something outside. So what you do is you tell your mind, that's a very good question. I forgot to address that. But you tell your mind that let the lawnmower go on, but I'm not interested in that. Why do I need to worry about it? Just ignore it and turn your attention away. After a while, just learn to ignore it and say it's not important. I don't need to hear it, pay attention. Or some sound comes, you know, what happened? You know, the neighbor's car, you know. It's okay, he's going at 6 o'clock in the morning. Why is Mr. Smith going at 6 o'clock in the morning to work? Immediately the mind wonders, why is he going so early? Normally he goes at 8. It's okay, you know, let him go. How does it affect me? You know, is it asking me to when, what time to go or when? He's just going. So tell your mind not to pay attention to the sounds. But that's a very good question.
To not replace it with some mantra.
You can. Actually, a mantra is helpful. If you want to listen to a CD, but right, the same mantra should be chanting like Om or Gayatri mantra, that helps to quieten the mind. But ultimately, you should be able to quieten your mind without it. But initially, I don't think there is any harm. Some people actually, at least what I used to do was for 20 minutes, I would run. I used to actually meditate for an hour. 20 minutes, I would run the mantra continuously, 108 times Gayatri mantra, and then it would shut off by itself. And then by that time, my mind was quiet and then I could stay, you know, longer. But yeah, using a mantra is not harmful, but not the whole hour or not the whole. Suppose you're going to meditate for 20 or 40 minutes, not the whole time. You should play for part of the time and then quieten it and then pay attention to the silence within. And silence is very, very important. Also in the day, take out time for silence because we are so busy. If we have nothing else to do, we just pick up a phone and call somebody, or you text somebody or email somebody or check your emails. It's okay. You know, take some time when I'll do nothing. I won't talk. I won't text. I won't email. I'll just sit and watch nature. You know, go to the heart park and watch the river, or sit in your backyard and just watch the trees. Just listen to the birds and just be silent. And in that silence, again, you know, pay attention to who knows the chanting of the birds, who knows the rustling in the wind, who is the one that is causing this beautiful nature, and then who within me knows nature. So, yeah, so turn your attention to who knows the sounds. Yeah, but I think that's a very good point. Thank you. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I've been told by people that you absolutely may not use.
Yeah. No, whatever works for you. If it works, I don't have any problem with that. If it works, if it doesn't interfere, if it's not a bother, and if it helps you to quieten the mind, I don't see any problem with it.
Completely shut up.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that.
All you can hear is just your breath. Right?
Yeah, you'll hear your breath. You'll hear your heartbeat. Maybe. See, you'll hear all those things. But that is okay because then you're going inward.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're listening, watching your breath. You're listening to your heartbeat. And then the idea is to go from the outside to the inside. And ultimately, to who knows the breath, who knows the heartbeat, who is the knower of all, and that is me, and that is Om, that is who I am. So turn your attention to that. But yeah, also closing all the doors, you know, if you have the sound, so close the doors. So make sure you have in a small room which is completely shut, there's no, so you cannot completely eliminate all the sounds, but as much as you can reduce, that much it helps.
When you were talking about shaking the leg, that's the same thing as overthinking too, right?
Yes.
Like when you're thinking too much.
Uh-huh. Just, and who is giving, you say, I can't stop my mind. Why? Because you are giving power to the mind to overthink. So substitute that time you could start observing your breath. Suppose you're very stressed out, things are not going well, problems are happening. Just quieten your mind, observe the breath and chant Om. Om, like that. And as you chant Om and quieten your mind and breathe, you'll find that you. So substitute multiple sounds with one sound, and that is the sound of the mantra. And then ultimately go to the silence.